J1, number 14B.
Now, this then is reading the signs of the times, and we must be very well awake then that the world goes through this total transformation of consciousness, and that it's a law of mind that it must go through this transformation, because false beliefs cannot evolve. False beliefs can only disappear, and as we've said before, Mrs. Eddy said that mortal mind is too ridiculous to last. False beliefs cannot last. They're too ridiculous to last. The world is just on the brink of coming out of the first degree then, and it will very soon, we'll see, come into the third degree of spiritual understanding and understand the realm of the divine mind. And this is our task, to help attend the birth and to help educate the world to see the realities of the divine mind. So, as the world then goes through this birth, it goes through this transformation of consciousness, we must always then ourselves look out from that third degree of understanding, to look out from the divine mind, to look out from science, the view of science, to look out from oneness, to look out from perfection, and know that all is infinite mind and it's infinite manifestation. If we know this, we somehow help the world. And this will help the world find its true identity, and more, and will help us get the flow and the warm feeling of our true identity. Now, do you see then how really big and important our super symbols are? Just to know then that mind says mind is the basis of the universe, and mind is that big power that forms the image. And spirit comes in and says, all right, that image exists as an idea in mind. Mind alone is the substance of that image. And then we can reason with soul that says, all right, then the divine mind and its image is one. And that's your true identity. The divine mind and its idea is one. And soul says, that's your true identity. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. So we can reason with our symbols of mind, spirit, soul to always bring us into the rhythm of true identity. And this is so beautiful with soul, because soul then is just showing that all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, and it's showing that mind is and its idea is the basis of our intelligence, and that our whole identity form is a mind form, and the whole world image is a mind image, that everything you see is an idea in mind. Fine, now let's go on with our study then. And see that as we look at our illustrative material for soul, you'll see that we are on this question of soul is outside body. Now, we'll say, well, what does this mean? Soul is outside body. Well, as we have just seen then, our true identity does not exist in a matter body. Our true identity exists only as an idea in mind. Mind is all. Therefore, true identity does not exist in a matter body. So soul is outside the matter body belief. We could also say with this reason in this way, that soul is outside body. We can say it in this way. Not only then is true identity outside the matter body belief, we could also say that true identity is based on the divine mind. And we can say that the divine mind, or the realm of the third degree of spiritual understanding, is outside mortal mind, or the realm of the first degree of false beliefs. And we can say that this whole divine mind, or this realm of spiritual understanding, is not in subjection to mortal mind, or the realm of false beliefs. And this is important to see, that the divine mind, reality, is not in subjection to mortal mind's beliefs. Mortal mind can go on and believe what it wants. Mortal mind can go on and misunderstand our true identity. Mortal mind can go on and believe that mind dwells in a matter body. It can do this, but it does not affect the objective fact that all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. A fact is a fact, you see. Mortal mind or false beliefs or misunderstandings occur, but these misunderstandings do not affect or or change the fact. The fact is that all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. Now, that's the fact. All that false beliefs can do are disappear. They cannot affect the fact, you see. So the fact is all is infinite mind in its infinite manifestation, and false beliefs are just going to disappear. They cannot affect the fact. But the fact will be seen and understood. So, again, soul is outside the body, or true identity, or the divine mind is outside and not affected by the realm of mortal mind. Now, let's just go on here. And on our list, we see that it says soul is never in anything. Now, let's reason again. We always have to go back to our false belief to pick up our reasoning, and this means that we must repeat. But when we're studying, we always must repeat, as we know, in order to pick up the flow of our thinking. It's the only way we can do it. So, when we say that soul is never in anything, this must mean that there's a belief that something is in something else. And this is what we have just seen. The false belief is that there are two distinct substances, mind, the thinking substance, and matter, the life-giving substance, and that mind is in matter. That's the belief, that mind is in matter. Now, that's mortal mind, dualistic reasoning. It always reasons that there's two separate entities and that it always tries to put a mind into matter. It always tries to put mind into something else, you see. It believes that mind is in matter. Now, the divine mind is based on a monistic reasoning, and this is a reasoning that states that there's only one basic entity. There are not two entities. There is only one basic entity, and that is the divine mind. And the divine mind is all. And the divine mind must express itself. And the divine mind expresses itself as its idea or image. But this idea and image is one. Therefore, mind is not in its image. Mind is not in its idea. Mind and its idea is one. Do you see that? Mind isn't in its image. But mind and its image is one. So when you're talking about the idea or image, you're just talking about mind, you see. And if you're talking about mind, you're talking about mind, you see. It's always mind and its idea is one, and soul says that's your true identity. So your true identity is mind, you see. Mind is never in anything. And this is why Mrs. Eddy says in Science and Health, we read, "This is a leading point in the science of soul. That principle is not in its idea." And she goes on to say, "That principle and its idea is one." Now this forms the fact. You see, she says principle is not in its idea, and principle and its idea is one, and principle is just a term for mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Therefore, this is how we get the scientific basis in Science and Health to say that mind is not in its idea, but mind and its idea is one. So let's always reason out from the base of oneness. Let's always know that it is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, and mind and its idea is one. Now let us go on then with the ideas which characterize soul, and we come to this fact that the greater controls the lesser. Now what does this mean, that the greater controls the lesser? Now this is a rule of soul, that the greater controls the lesser, or we can say this is the rule of true identity. The rule is that the greater controls the lesser, that reality controls unreality, that truth controls error and causes error to disappear, and divine facts cause false beliefs to disappear. That's the fact, that the greater controls the lesser, or that truth causes error to disappear. And again, as we see that whole truth or the divine mind or the greater is not affected by mortal mind, the false belief, the lesser. But that the divine fact controls the false belief, and the divine fact causes false beliefs to disappear. Therefore, the greater, which is the divine fact, controls the lesser or false belief, and the divine fact causes that false belief to disappear. Because once we see the divine fact, automatically the false belief drops away from within us. So this then is the big rule of soul, the greater controls the lesser. That divine mind realm with its spiritual truth is causing that mortal mind realm of false belief to yield up and disappear. And this is happening today on a universal scale. In the past, it's happened with individuals, but today we're at the standpoint that it's happening universally. It's happening to everyone, not just a few particular individuals. The whole world is going through this dropping off of false belief. And because it's the rule of soul, that the greater controls the lesser. Now, we go on and see the next idea which characterizes soul. It says master there on your list. So again, we can just see that the law of soul means that the law of soul is not affected by the so-called material laws. Therefore, the law of soul masters, you could say, false material laws. Or you can say that spiritual understanding, our spiritual understanding of true identity, masters our false beliefs, you see. Or our spiritual understanding of our true identity causes all our false beliefs to disappear. That's just the same thing as saying that divine facts master or control false belief. Now, we go on with these ideas, and one could spend, you know, quite a bit of time. I often think while preparing for class that I could spend hours on each one of these particular ideas which characterize the term, but we just want to together get the flow and the tone of soul. So I'd like to more or less quickly then go through these other ideas which characterize soul just to help us get into the flow. Now we come now to this point of resurrection as an idea which characterizes soul. Now what does this term resurrection mean, and why is it there at this point of soul? Now you see, resurrection happens on the third step. Jesus had his resurrection on the third day. You see, resurrection is a quality of soul. It happens because, you see, at the point of spirit, we must drop off all our false beliefs. You know, at spirit, we have that faculty of discernment which separates ideas from illusion, so we can drop off all our false beliefs and focus only on divine ideas. So the second step of spirit is to separate from false beliefs and to focus only on divine ideas. And when we focus only on divine ideas, then our true identity appears. You see, this is an ascending way of separating from false beliefs so our true identity appears, of separating out of the first degree into the real realm of the third degree is an ascending way. So this is actually, in a sense, denotes resurrection. When you ascend or progress out of the first degree into the third degree, when you drop off your false material beliefs and come into the realm of the third degree, this is actually resurrection. This is a state of resurrection. You're resurrecting yourself from false beliefs into divine facts. So resurrection is actually a state of consciousness, and it denotes spiritualization of thought. Now, Mary Baker Eddy defines resurrection in Science and Health as this. She says, resurrection means spiritualization of thought, a new and higher idea of immortality or spiritual existence, material belief yielding to spiritual understanding. So she shows that resurrection is a state of consciousness, and it denotes spiritualization of thought. So each one of us partake of resurrection whenever we ourselves drop off our false beliefs and enter into the realm of spiritual understanding. And we always partake of resurrection when we demonstrate that divine facts are superior to false beliefs, or we demonstrate that divine facts cause false beliefs to disappear. And this is the example of Jesus in the Bible and his resurrection. You see, actually, Jesus, by his resurrection, proved to us that it's possible for us, for each one of us, to give up the reliance on material beliefs and to only rely on divine facts. And he said, and he showed by doing this, in his resurrection, he was actually coming out of a state of consciousness which finally gave up all reliance on material beliefs and only relied on divine facts. And as he did this, you see, he demonstrated complete control over false belief. He absolutely demonstrated complete control, and he resurrected right out of that mortal belief of death and tomb. Death is just a false belief of the first degree. He overcame death, and he resurrected himself out of that belief and presented himself to his disciples in his perfect identity form, you see. Because he resurrected or came out of that first degree of false beliefs, and as he did this, he showed that we will be able to demonstrate complete control over false beliefs. Now, you see, when we look out from that third degree of understanding, we should have complete control over our body. We should be able to dictate to body how it feels. Body shouldn't dictate to us. You see, the belief is that body goes around dictating to us. It has pain, it doesn't feel good. So we're always in subjection to our body. But it really is in reality, in theory, that the body should be in subjection to mind. You see, mind should control the body. In no way should that body belief be always in control of us. If we more and more look out from that realm of the third degree, mind is in control of all false beliefs and all body beliefs. And those body beliefs and pains and aches should disappear. And we should be experiencing our true, healthy identity form. And again, you see, body, we never lose anything. We only gain a true, healthy identity form, a mind form. So, that's resurrection, to come out of false beliefs into divine facts and to be able then to demonstrate control over those false beliefs. Now, let's go on to the next idea here of spiritual sense. And again, the third degree of the divine mind is outside of the first degree of mortal mind. So therefore, all these so-called five physical senses of mortal mind, of seeing, hearing, and tasting, and all this, all these five physical senses cannot apprehend the realm of divine mind. Mortal mind cannot see the real realm of the divine mind. Mortal mind distorts the image, the perfect image of the divine mind. You see, the five physical senses cannot see the realm of the divine mind. It distorts, it clouds, it fogs it up, you see. Because of its false beliefs, it never quite understands the real identity. So we see that as we drop off these false beliefs and come into this realm of the divine mind, we more or less come into the realm of spiritual understanding. Our consciousness clears, and we fully apprehend, and we fully see that true identity form. We really, once and for all, know and understand reality. Now, it says in the compendium that soul sense and spiritual sense therefore sees reality. Well, what does this mean by soul sense? Actually, there are no other senses than the senses of soul. Our real senses, or soul senses, are based on the divine mind. Our real senses of seeing, hearing, feeling, and so forth are purely mental and spiritual, and they exist as faculty of mind. So seeing, hearing, and feeling, and tasting, and touching, and smelling are really facts, but they are spiritual facts. They are mental facts, and they exist in the divine mind. They are never faculties of matter. They are mental faculties. Now, that's our true soul sense. Our true faculties are mental faculties. Now, we also loosely hear with this sense of spiritual sense, this idea of spiritual sense, we often say that, well, somebody really has spiritual sense. Well, when we say this, we're often meaning that somebody is really looking out from the realm of mind, spirit, and soul. That the person with spiritual sense is constantly regarding everything from the basis of mind, spirit, and soul. Then we say they have spiritual sense. Now, we go on. And the next idea we have here is that of reverses. Reverses characterizes soul. And again, all of mortal mind's false beliefs are just misinterpretations or misunderstandings of divine facts. So false beliefs maintain an opposite position to divine facts. So in order to see what this means by reverses as an idea which characterizes soul, we just see that false beliefs are reversed and replaced by divine facts. That divine facts or divine ideas reverse and replace false beliefs. Now we go on quickly here and we see this idea of unchangeable. Now in reality, we must always know that our true identity is based on the fact that all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, and the divine mind is unchangeable, it's definite. Our true identity cannot be lost, it cannot be injured, it cannot be disturbed, it cannot be impaired. Our true identity, the divine mind, is unchangeable. And this divine mind is not affected by all of mortal mind's life-death beliefs. Mortal mind can believe its life-death beliefs, but this does not change the fact that the divine mind, the real reality, is unchangeable. It exists, always will exist, and it will be totally and universally apprehended. So our true identity is in reality unchangeable. It is not subject to life and death. Now, we go on with the next one, idea which characterizes soul and its seed within itself. We read in the compendium that soul carries the seed within itself. This just means that soul is constantly reproducing itself. This means that the divine idea constantly reproduces itself. The divine mind constantly, you see, expresses itself, but it's constantly expressing itself in new ways, you see. So the divine mind constantly reproduces itself. It isn't reproducing anything else. It carries the seed within itself. It's always itself, never anything else. So the divine mind is constantly reproducing the divine mind in infinitely new ways. So the forms we see are infinitely new identity forms of the divine mind, because the divine mind is constantly reproducing itself. And it reproduces itself out of itself, through itself, as itself, for itself. It's always reproducing itself, you see. Then we go on and we look at that idea capacity. And we say, well, because the true identity or the divine mind contains everything within itself, then true identity has infinite capacity. Because the divine mind contains everything with itself, it has ability to always reproduce itself, then we say that the divine mind has infinite capacity. Or quickly, we can summarize up these rest of these ideas. We can say quickly, then, that our true identity is sinless, because sin means to deviate from the divine law. So in reality, mind is law, and mind doesn't deviate from its law. So mind is sinless. Our true identity is immortal. And we can see that true identity brings freedom, joy, happiness, and satisfaction. We can always see that if we understand our true identity, that all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, doesn't this bring us joy and freedom and happiness? Because we understand, we feel joy, we feel freedom, we feel happiness. We're free from all those matter beliefs, and it's joyful to know reality. We just feel a big burden is taken off of us. We experience joy. We experience joy because we can be pure and hold only to divine facts. Purity brings joy and freedom, you see, and satisfaction. Understanding, spiritual understanding, should be bring us the biggest joy and satisfaction that we could ever get in life. The biggest joy. And true identity and knowing that all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation then demands us to give up all our personal will. So we then, and personal false beliefs and personal ego and the belief that we have a personal mind. So therefore we can say that true identity demands self-abnegation. And very last idea we have here is rule as an idea which characterizes soul. And we then see that the law of mind always appears in an order way and operates according to definite rules. So mind's law must appear, mind's will is mandatory in law, and mind's ideas and always appear in an ordered way and operate according to definite rules. And rule means in the dictionary, rule means a prescribed guide for conduct and action. So, the law of mind always operates according to definite rules. Well, what are some of the rules then that mind operates under? And one we've talked about is that the greater controls the lesser. That is a rule. The greater, the divine fact controls the lesser, the false belief. This is a rule. The greater must control the lesser. The greater must cause the lesser to disappear. Another rule is that we must separate from false beliefs in order for our true identity to appear. We must come out of that first degree of false belief into the realm of the third degree in order for our true identity to appear. That is a rule. We must separate from that first degree in order to have our identity appear. These are the rules of true identity. There are others, but these are just those in a nutshell. Now you see, those we have done, we've just gone through then all of the ideas which characterize soul. And just briefly, you have a list in front of you of illustrative material with soul and its counterfeits. And also on page 181 in compendium number 6, we encounter the negative counterfeit beliefs. And on that list, we can just very simply say that material sense or body beliefs or sin or sensation, all these beliefs arise from a misunderstanding of our true identity. Now, in the last sessions we've had together, we have then gone through those great big super symbols of mind, spirit, and soul. And these are very powerful super symbols. They are big, big super symbols, because they are stating the truth about our real divine identity. And it is up to each one of us to claim those truths. It's up to each one of us now to go forth and claim our divine identity. And just keep within oneself the next few weeks and months, just keep those big super symbols in mind of mind, spirit, and soul. And always each morning go over, what does mind say? What does spirit say? What does soul say concerning my true identity? Always see that all is infinite mind in its infinite manifestation. This is our true identity. And once we grasp the nature of our true identity, we can then see that our true identity is governed by principle. It is governed by a science, you see. Infinite mind in its infinite manifestation does not operate haphazardly. Infinite mind in its infinite manifestation operates according to science, system, and structure, you see. It's all based on a principle and a science. And when we base our true identity on a principle or science and let that science dictate our identity, then we can experience, you see, the one divine life, the one divine truth, and the one divine love. Now, these big super symbols of mind are the big ones, because they set our identity. And when we see what our identity is, and that is based on a principle, we then can experience life. We then can experience divine truth. We then can experience love, but only when we've claimed the truths of mind, spirit, and soul. Those are very, very important terms.